Thank you, everyone, for coming on here today. Faith to Faith, our daily devotional, our Bible college curriculum. Fernando, your instructor, let's go ahead and open with a Our Father, and then we'll do communion together, and then we'll have our lecture for the 9th of April. Thank you so much for coming on here. I love you. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, once more, appreciate you're here. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may the Lord bless you, keep you, fix you up, work with you, and make you all that he's called you to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be reading out of Philippians 3, starting with verse 13. Actually, we'll read 13, and then afterwards we'll read the whole thing. Amen. Now, 13 says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." And in another Bible, it says, "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Amen. It's going to be a wonderful study today. It's going to answer a lot of questions about our imagination and staying concurrent with God's word and how to use our imagination and the word of God. Here we go. Failures and disappointments, aches and pains from the past that just won't seem to go away. Most of us know what is it like to suffer from them, but too few of us know just what to do about them. So we limp along, hoping somehow they'll magically stop hurting. Again, let me say that again. Perk up your ears, please. Failure and disappointments, aches and pains from the past that just won't seem to go away. Most of us know what it is to suffer or what's it like to suffer from them, but too few of us know just what to do about them. So we get along as best as we could with our fate, hoping somehow that they'll magically stop hurting. But it never happens that way. In fact, the passing of time often leaves us in worse condition, not better. Because instead of putting those painful failures behind us, we often dwell on them until they become more real to us than the promises of God. Hear me out. Listen. I said, instead of putting those painful failures behind us, which we needed to learn, we often dwell on them until they become more real to us than the promises of God. We focus on them until we become bogged down in depression, frozen in our tracks by the fear that if we go on, we will only fail again. We'll only fail again. I used to get up and get caught on that trap over and over a lot. Then one day, I was in the right of the middle of a bout with depression. The Lord spoke inside of me and said, "Son, Kenneth, your problem is you're forming your thoughts of the past instead of the future." "What? Don't do that." He said that I'm forming my thoughts of the past instead of forming my thoughts into the future. Unbelief looks at the past and says, "See, it can be done." But faith looks at the future and says, "It can be done, and according to the promises of God, it is done." Then putting past failures behind it forever, faith steps out and acts like the victory's already been won. If depression has driven you into a spiritual nosedive, break out of it by getting your eyes off the past and onto your future, a future that's been guaranteed by Christ Jesus through the great and precious promises in His Word. Forget about those failures in the past. That's what God has done in Hebrews 8:12. And if He doesn't remember them anymore, why should we? The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. So if you'll take God at His word, you can wake up every morning to a brand new world. You can live life totally unhindered by the past. So do it. What's the best scenario you can have for that day? And get your banjo out. Replace thoughts of yesterday's mistakes with scriptural promises about your future. Again, I said, replace negative thoughts of yesterday's mistakes with scriptural promises about our tomorrows, and so on. As you do that, hope will start taking the place of depression. The spiritual aches and pains that have crippled you for so long will quickly disappear. Instead of looking behind you and saying, I can't, you'll begin to look ahead and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So repeat after me, say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It can be done. And according to the promises of God, it is done. Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. Repeat after me, say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And now let's read Philippians 1 through 14, please. I'll just read it for you. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others had reasons for confidence in their own efforts. I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strict obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. My commentary on today's reading is the fact is that we're not using our imagination aright. Before we were in Christ, the enemy would bring so many different scenarios to our lives that we would lose perspective in how to use our imaginations properly in the things of God, how to keep appointments, how to accomplish tasks, and so forth. The enemy is constantly bombarding us. And sometimes in the church I attended, they used to switch Bible studies so quickly and change the readings and the atmosphere from one side to the other. And they said the Holy Spirit was changing. So we could not stay too long in so many scriptures to learn and love them. We moved from scripture to scripture. Some churches were so fast. And I wanted to camp in a scripture and learn to love it. Like, for instance, the first time as a Christian, I heard the words that in John 3, 1 John 3, what is it? No, 3 John, where it said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I said, what's up with that verse? I should like to camp there and learn how to love those words, become friends with those words, and unite with those words, because those words explode proper imagination for the future. Everything else in the past was just dirty rags that I was using and experiencing, and they were there for a purpose, either for a lesson or no lesson or idle time, and just I move on to what the high calling of God was called us. But his mercies are new every morning. His grace, we're standing on his grace, and there's more grace to be gotten. And the fullness of the blessing of God is there to be gotten. The fullness comes through imagination. For us to imagine the future, say yes, 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 and repeat a scripture over and over into the future. Yes, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, 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 you are my shepherd. I shall not want. All is well with me today. I receive your mercies. I receive your grace. I confess success and favor this day till Jesus comes home and takes me home. Comes and takes me home. Amen. Now, the world is full of deceivers. We must be especially alert for those who offer recovery plans that exclude God. Some false teachers, Paul mentioned, demanded the Gentile Christians obey the old Jewish law of circumcision in order to be saved. And the apostle stood against this claim, reminding the Philippians that only God, through Jesus Christ, could bring them deliverance. This message is for us too. If people claim we don't need God for a successful journey and recovery, we should walk the other way. Programs that depend on our actions will never succeed for long until we admit that we are powerless to help ourselves, that we need the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. We won't succeed in our restoration and recoveries. Paul made a detailed inventory of his past behaviors, including his religious activities, and found nothing worth hanging on to. He threw out the past life and replaced it with his new life in Christ. We should engage in an honest inventory of our own heritage and accomplishments, as Paul did. As we compare the value of our past accomplishments to the power offered by Christ, we will find that the new life God offers is the obvious choice. Our personal inventory helps us discover that the things of this world can satisfy our eternal needs. Only God can. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, we praise Him. We thank Him. It said, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So we have to sharpen what His riches are, right? So we can use it and give it to our imagination. That sounds good to me. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't that Philippians 4:13? We might as well get under it right now, huh? A lot of people stay away from it. 13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Okay, I was wrong about the scripture. But this is, for I can imagine everything positive through Christ who gives me strength. For I can do, can I do in the past anything? I only can do things in the future. Everything through Christ. So I must have filtered it. The promises of God into the future. For I can acknowledge every promise of God through Christ. Okay? Say that with me. So I can acknowledge everything through Christ. For I can imagine everything through Christ. I can do, you have, before you do, you got to imagine, don't we? Say it again. Say, for I can do everything through Christ. For I can imagine everything through Christ. Who gives me strength. Amen. And now, Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which been given to us in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Paul says, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's investigate a little bit. What are His glorious riches? Well, Jesus Christ is everything. All good things and everything. That's why we should praise Jesus and see the best we can see while we're praising Him in that situation. You know, see the best scenario that that item could be. The elements here, the molecules, don't have a chance when we do that. Praise you, Jesus. I'm imagining the best scenario. Hallelujah. And one of the projects I'm working on, I thank you, Jesus. I believe it's God's will for me to move and shift it over to that. Amen. So you look at it and say, thank you, God. I praise you, Jesus. And see it finished. See the finished product. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your glorious insight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love and your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness. Amen and amen. See that? God gave me some ideas as I was doing that imagination. I was thinking about my garage and how I can turn it into half a library and put my recliner there. And I got my already putting my other books there. And where I can have a quiet time too when I need to be with my books and the sun and be on my roller recliner desk. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming on here. I pray that We continue to do our worship, our praising, and moving forward in Christ Jesus with our imaginations. And let's not stop here. There's also the studies of act as if, like imagine as if. Let us imagine as if. Let us use our God-given talents to what we just read and take them to heart. One of the reasons we get confused in our time and what to do is because we're not using our proper imaginations, and combined with God's new mercies every morning, tons of new mercies, tons of new benefits, truckloads of benefits are dumped in your driveway every day. So you got to get rid of the stuff that was dumped here yesterday, for today's new mercies are coming in. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I love you. God bless you. Please compliment yourself and talk to yourself and encourage yourself and look into the goodness of God with eyes as a child. Your Father has given to you because He loves you, cares for you, created the whole world for you to have fun and enjoy every minute of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Now let's go ahead and take communion. Lord, we thank you that you went to the cross for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you went to the cross to die for us, Lord Jesus. They whipped you. They took your body, Lord God, and they opened it the back, Lord God, in the heavens. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that you did that for us. You took a punishment of 39 lashes to your back. You took the ridicule and all these things that man did to you, Lord. We're sorry, Lord God, in the heavens. Thank you that he had to go to the cross for us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We thank the Father. That was the Father's plan to hurt you for the sins that we have done, Lord. You took our infirmities, you took our sickness and our pains, and you took our place of going to hell for our sins, Lord. You made salvation available. You made healing available, restoration available. Thank you, Jesus, that this bread represents your body, what you did for us on the cross, Lord God. And we thank you for it. Thank you for dying for us on the cross, Lord. So we acknowledge you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We acknowledge the resurrection life of you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and partake of the bread. The bread of life through Jesus Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He has risen from the dead. And he's raised us from the dead. We are new creatures. As Christ says, so are we. As Christ is in heaven, so are we. The Lord Jesus has given us his righteousness, his sanctification, his wisdom, his redemption. Hallelujah. We are now children of the Most High God. We have our Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. Then Jesus took the cup and said, drink this for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Ratification of the new covenant, Lord God. We say this, we have new covenant with Christ Jesus. We're liberated from sin, sickness, disease, from death, from poverty, loneliness. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for doing the work for us, Lord. We appreciate it. Appreciate it. Let's take of the cup. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for this wonderful feeling. Thank you for the blood. Cleanses us. There's power in the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy and the gratitude you've given us. Let us rejoice and be glad in the Lord, for we are God's salvation, and hallelujah. We have salvation, and with salvation, shall he not give us all things? John 3:30-17. Shall not the Lord give us all things, since he's given us his Son to die for us? Shall not the Father give us all things that we may need? Hallelujah. Let's see. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to be saved through the world through him. But to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's only one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear of their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Amen. And where is that verse? He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. Reading John 3:34, for he is sent by God, he speaks God's words. Again, God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. Everything into his hands. That's why we praise Jesus for the things that we can imagine according to his word and riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And anyone who believes in the Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will not experience eternal life, but remain under God's angry judgment. Amen and amen. Thank you, everyone. I couldn't find that scripture where it says, he has given you all things. He has given you his Son. Shall he not also give you all things? Amen. Thank you, everyone, for coming on here today. Faith to Faith, our daily devotional, our Bible college curriculum. Fernando, your instructor, let's go ahead and open with a Our Father, and then we'll do communion together, and then we'll have our lecture for the 9th of April. Thank you so much for coming on here. I love you. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, once more, appreciate you're here. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, may the Lord bless you, keep you, fix you up, work with you, and make you all that he's called you to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be reading out of Philippians 3, starting with verse 13. Actually, we'll read 13, and then afterwards we'll read the whole thing. Amen. Now, 13 says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And in another Bible, it says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful study today. It's going to answer a lot of questions about our imagination and staying concurrent with God's word and how to use our imagination and the word of God. Here we go. Failures and disappointments, aches and pains from the past that just won't seem to go away. Most of us know what is it like to suffer from them, but too few of us know just what to do about them. So we limp along, hoping somehow they'll magically stop hurting. Again, let me say that again. Perk up your ears, please. Failure and disappointments, aches and pains from the past that just won't seem to go away. Most of us know what it is to suffer, or what's it like to suffer from them, but too few of us know just what to do about them. So we get along as best as we could with our fate, hoping somehow that they'll magically stop hurting. But it never happens that way. In fact, the passing of time often leaves us in worse condition, not better. Because instead of putting those painful failures behind us, we often dwell on them until they become more real to us than the promises of God. Hear me out. Listen. I said, instead of putting those painful failures behind us, which we needed to learn, we often dwell on them until they become more real to us than the promises of God. We focus on them until we become bogged down in depression, frozen in our tracks by the fear that if we go on, we will only fail again. We'll only fail again. I used to get up and get caught on that trap over and over a lot. Then one day, I was in the right of the middle of a bout with depression. The Lord spoke inside of me and said, "Son, Kenneth, your problem is you're forming your thoughts of the past instead of the future." "What? Don't do that." He said that I'm forming my thoughts of the past instead of forming my thoughts into the future. Unbelief looks at the past and says, "See, it can be done." But faith looks at the future and says, "It can be done. And according to the promises of God, it is done." Then putting past failures behind it forever, faith steps out and acts like the victory's already been won. If depression has driven you into a spiritual nosedive, break out of it by getting your eyes off the past and onto your future, a future that's been guaranteed by Christ Jesus through the great and precious promises in His Word. Forget about those failures in the past. That's what God has done in Hebrews 8:12. And if He doesn't remember them anymore, why should we? The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. So if you'll take God at His word, you can wake up every morning to a brand new world. You can live life totally unhindered by the past. So do it. What's the best scenario you can have for that day? And get your banjo out. Replace thoughts of yesterday's mistakes with scriptural promises about your future. Again, I said, replace negative thoughts of yesterday's mistakes with scriptural promises about our tomorrows, and so on. As you do that, hope will start taking the place of depression. The spiritual aches and pains that have crippled you for so long will quickly disappear. Instead of looking behind you and saying, "I can't," you'll begin to look ahead and say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So repeat after me, say, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Again, "I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me." It can be done. And according to the promises of God, it is done. Jesus said, "It is finished." Amen. Repeat after me, say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. your rod and your staff. Protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And now let's read Philippians 1 through 14, please. I'll just read it for you. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others had reasons for confidence in their own efforts. I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strict obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obey the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. My commentary on today's reading is the fact is that we're not using our imagination aright. Before we were in Christ, the enemy would bring so many different scenarios to our lives that we would lose perspective at how to use our imaginations properly in the things of God. How to keep appointments, how to accomplish tasks, and so forth. The enemy is constantly bombarding us. And sometimes in the church I attended, they used to switch Bible studies so quickly and change the readings and the atmosphere from one side to the other. And they said the Holy Spirit was changing. So we could not stay too long in so many scriptures to learn and love them. We moved from scripture to scripture. Some churches were so fast. And I wanted to camp in a scripture and learn to love it. Like, for instance, the first time as a Christian, I heard the words that in John 3, 1 John 3, what is it? No, 3 John, where it said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I said, what's up with that verse? I should like to camp there and learn how to love those words, become friends with those words, and unite with those words, because Those words explode proper imagination for the future. Everything else in the past was just dirty rags that I was using and experiencing, and they were there for a purpose, either for a lesson or no lesson or idle time, and just I move on to what the high calling of God was called us. But His mercies are new every morning. His grace, we're standing on His grace, and there's more grace to be gotten. And the fullness of the blessing of God is there to be gotten. The fullness comes through imagination. For us to imagine the future, say yes, 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 and repeat a scripture over and over into the future. Yes, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, 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 You are my shepherd. I shall not want. All is well with me today. I receive Your mercies. I receive Your grace. I confess success and favor this day till Jesus comes home and takes me home. Comes and takes me home. Amen. Now, the world is full of deceivers. We must be especially alert for those who offer recovery plans that exclude God. Some false teachers, Paul mentioned, demanded the Gentile Christians obey the old Jewish law of circumcision in order to be saved. And the apostle stood against this claim, reminding the Philippians that only God, through Jesus Christ, could bring them deliverance. This message is for us too. If people claim we don't need God for a successful journey and recovery, we should walk the other way. Programs that depend on our actions will never succeed for long until we admit that we are powerless to help ourselves, that we need the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. We won't succeed in our restoration and recoveries. Paul made a detailed inventory of his past behaviors, including his religious activities, and found nothing worth hanging on to. He threw out the past life and replaced it with his new life in Christ. We should engage in an honest inventory of our own heritage and accomplishments, as Paul did. As we compare the value of our past accomplishments to the power offered by Christ, we will find that the new life God offers is the obvious choice. Our personal inventory helps us discover that the things of this world can satisfy our eternal needs. Only God can. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, we praise Him. We thank Him. It said, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So we have to sharpen what His riches are, right? So we can use it and give it to our imagination. That sounds good to me. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't that Philippians 4:13? We might as well get under it right now, huh? A lot of people stay away from it. 13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Okay, I was wrong about the scripture. But this is, for I can imagine everything positive through Christ who gives me strength. For I can do, can I do in the past anything? I only can do things in the future. Everything through Christ. So I must have filtered the promises of God into the future. For I can acknowledge every promise of God through Christ. Okay? Say that with me. So I can acknowledge everything through Christ. For I can imagine everything through Christ. I can do, you have, before you do, you got to imagine, don't we? Say it again, say, for I can do everything through Christ. For I can imagine everything through Christ. Who gives me strength. Amen. And now, Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which been given to us in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Paul says, And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's investigate a little bit. What are his glorious riches? Well, Jesus Christ is everything, all good things and everything. That's why we should praise Jesus and see the best we can see while we're praising him in that situation. You know, see the best scenario that that item could be. The elements here, the molecules, don't have a chance when we do that. Praise you, Jesus. I'm imagining the best scenario. Hallelujah. And one of the projects I'm working on, I thank you, Jesus. I believe it's God's will for me to move and shift it over to that. Amen. So you look at it and say, thank you, God. I praise you, Jesus. And see it finished. See the finished product. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your glorious insight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love and your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness. Amen, amen. See that? God gave me some ideas as I was doing that imagination. I was thinking about my garage and how I can turn it into half a library and put my recliner there. And I got my already putting my other books there. And where I can have a quiet time too when I need to be with my books and the sun and be on my roller recliner desk. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming on here. I pray that we continue to do our worship, our praising, and moving forward in Christ Jesus with our imaginations. And let's not stop here. There's also the studies of act as if, like imagine as if. Let us imagine as if. Let us use our God-given talents to what we just read and take them to heart. One of the reasons we get confused in our time and what to do is because we're not using our proper imaginations, and combined with God's new mercies every morning, tons of new mercies, tons of new benefits. Truckloads of benefits are dumped in your driveway every day. So you got to get rid of the stuff that was dumped here yesterday, for today's new mercies are coming in. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I love you. God bless you. Please compliment yourself and talk to yourself and encourage yourself and look into the goodness of God with eyes as a child. Your Father has given to you because he loves you, cares for you, created the whole world for you to have fun and enjoy every minute of it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Now, let's go ahead and take communion. Lord, we thank you that you went to the cross for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you went to the cross to die for us, Lord Jesus. They whipped you, they took your body, Lord God, and they opened it the back, Lord God, in the heavens. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that you did that for us. You took a punishment of 39 lashes to your back. You took the ridicule and all these things that man did to you, Lord. We're sorry, Lord God, in the heavens. Thank you that he had to go to the cross for us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We thank the Father. That was the Father's plan, to hurt you for the sins that we have done, Lord. You took our infirmities, you took our sickness and our pains, and you took our place of going to hell for our sins, Lord. You made salvation available. You made healing available, restoration available. Thank you, Jesus, that this bread represents your body, what you did for us on the cross, Lord God. And we thank you for it. Thank you for dying for us on the cross, Lord. So we acknowledge you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We acknowledge the resurrection life of you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and partake of the bread. The bread of life through Jesus Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He has risen from the dead, and he's raised us from the dead. We are new creatures. As Christ is, so are we. As Christ is in heaven, so are we. The Lord Jesus has given us his righteousness, his sanctification, his wisdom, his redemption. Hallelujah. We are now children of the Most High God. We have our Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. Then Jesus took the cup and said, drink this for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Ratification of the new covenant, Lord God. We say this, we have new covenant with Christ Jesus. We're liberated from sin, sickness, disease, from death, from poverty, loneliness. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for doing the work for us, Lord. We appreciate it. Appreciate it. Let's take of the cup. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for this wonderful feeling. Thank you for the blood. Cleanses us. There's power in the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy and the gratitude you've given us. Let us rejoice and be glad in the Lord, for we are God's salvation, and hallelujah, we have salvation, and with salvation, shall he not give us all things? John 3:30-17. Shall not the Lord give us all things, since he's given us his Son to die for us? Shall not the Father give us all things that we may need? Hallelujah. Let's see. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to be saved through the world through him. But to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's only one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear of their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Amen. And where is that verse? He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. Reading John 3:34. For he is sent by God, he speaks God's words. Again, God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. Everything into his hands. That's why we praise Jesus for the things that we can imagine according to his word and riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And anyone who believes in the Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will not experience eternal life, but remain under God's angry judgment. Amen and amen. Thank you, everyone. I couldn't find that scripture where it says, he has given you all things. He has given you his Son. Shall he not also give you all things? Amen.